18 May 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Sure glad you tuned into the Calvary Hour. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This broadcast is sponsored by the Calvary Baptist Church located in New Bern, North Carolina. It's a blessing to be able to come to you by means of Christian radio. If you have time or have access to your Bible, turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're looking at that which is more excellent than even the best of gifts. We're looking at that according to Peter as he's writing about persecution and preparing us for persecution. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. The Holy Spirit just utters him to write, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now the word charity is the word for that highest form of love. It is found here in the New Testament. It comes from our triune God, the love of God. Brotherly love, or phileo, is used in the New Testament some 415 times. And about half the times, it's used in a negative way. But, dear friend, you'll never find, or hardly ever find, this word agape love appearing in a negative way. And it appears some 320 times in the New Testament. These figures were accumulated by Dr. John Phillips, and I appreciate it so very, very much. And then there's another great characteristic of agape love as well. And that it is always for the good of others, whether it's a good for God or good for fellow man, our family members, whatever it might be, our country. Dear friend, it is always for the good of others. So may God grant that our lives be characterized by that identifying characteristic that identifies us as a child of God. For by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And right now, we're looking at the characteristics of this love. We find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you have time, as we said before, have access to your Bible, please join us. Father, do bless us now with our words. Speak to my heart, hearts of all of our listeners. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Boy, there are three of the zeros with the ring rubbed out. Regardless of how eloquent we might be, regardless of how knowledgeable we might be, and regardless of how generous we might be, if we have not the love of God in our hearts and lives, we are nothing, and it profit us nothing. Charity suffers long. Love suffers long. It's kind. It envieth not. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not rash. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. That's where we left off on our last broadcast. Now, dear friend, this does not contradict the fact that we should consider things and we should always weigh things out by the Word of God. I believe what the Bible is speaking about here is that we get to the place with our old carnal natures where we think everything is evil. Nobody is faithful. Nobody is honest. Nobody is looking out for the welfare of others. And that's just simply not true, dear friend, and especially when it comes to God. I've heard people make statements like this. Now, this might, I hope not, provoke you. I hope you're not easily provoked. But this may ruffle the feathers on some people. I've heard about some of these psychologists and maybe psychiatrists and some of these counselors talking to people, especially about forgiveness. And they'll get down to speaking about, well, have you forgiven this person? And have you forgiven yourself? And then someone will say, well, have you forgiven God? Well, let me encourage you. Let me save you a little time. You don't have to spend any time considering forgiving God. God hadn't done anything wrong to you. And by the way, God's not going to do anything wrong to you. And if you'll just accept his love that he extends to you, you'll find out that so many of these other problems will just simply be gone. You know, you don't have the incoming tide and the outcoming tide at the same time. It just doesn't work that way. There's a place called the Bay of Fundy, and it has a tremendous tidal change. I mean, by several feet. I understand that when the tide goes out, that some of the ships that are up in the bay can actually be sitting on the bottom. And yet, when the tide comes in, they can be refloated. There's that big of a tidal change. We live here near the coast, and we see a lot of tidal change. We don't have to go very far to be under the tidal effect. And dear friend, there's a couple of things that doesn't exist, and that is an unforgiving spirit, that is a mean-hearted spirit, and the love of God. They just do not exist in our heart at the same time. And you will find out that as the wickedness goes out of our life and the love of God comes into our lives, you'll find that God's love will actually float our ship, so to speak. Love is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Sure, there's a lot of evil in this world, and we should never get to the place where we acquiesce to evil and agree with evil. No, that's not it. But there is still the love of God that is manifested by God Himself as He has sent His Son, and He has put His love into the hearts and lives of those that He has saved as well. You know, when God saves us, He deposits into our account His righteousness. He imputes unto us His divine righteousness into our account. And in that imputation of God's divine righteousness into our account, God also imputes His love into our hearts as well. And this is what changes people's lives. My mind runs down memory lane right now as I'm speaking to you and thinking about people that I know that I have seen God do such wonderful work in their lives as He has changed them when He saved them and replaced mean, vengeful spirits with the love of God and changed them from being people that just simply can't be hardly lived with to people who are loved and are very productive, from people who have been destructive to people who become productive. The Bible says concerning God's love, that is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. And here is one we'll get started with. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Now, you know as well as I do, friend, gossip travels a lot faster than truth, does it not? Why is it that people can do something wicked and wrong? And man, people will pick it up. I mean, they'll get on the, used to say on the party line, now they can get on the internet, they can get on the telephone, get in the company of others, and I'm telling you, they can just spread it all around. Why? Because they rejoice, as it were, in iniquity. But when it comes to the truth, they have no concern for rejoicing in the truth. And maybe some people say, well, preacher, just simply because I'm talking about iniquity doesn't mean that I'm rejoicing in it. Well, I know this, wherever our treasure is, there will our heart be also. And whatever that is consuming our thinking is oftentimes what we're going to be talking about as well. Well, we're only getting started in this. We're going to have to break here in just a moment. But God's love does not rejoice in iniquity, but you know what it rejoices in? It rejoices in the truth. Well, dear friend, this broadcast is targeted for the middle of our broadcast week. And you say, preacher, here you go again. Here I go again. I'm going to encourage you, if at all possible, to be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church this midweek time. And especially those of you who have the opportunity to have prayer meetings, to be in prayer meetings. Oh, dear friend, there's a certain kind of power of God that doesn't come any other way other than by prayer and fasting, by the way. There's times to pray this. But in fact, we should always be in an attitude of prayer. We should pray without ceasing. And there's time when we should be fasting as well. But, oh, my friend, don't forget this. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. In my 82 years, I have never known a greater need for our land to be healed than it is right now. Please be in a prayer meeting if you can. If you cannot, join us on the web if possible at www.calbat.org. And please join us next broadcast if you can.